And if you did forget it was Valentine's Day, don't worry, it's still early. So, and if you don't care about the date, you don't have to worry either. If you do care, but you're single, maybe you're what's called a relationship saboteur. It does exist, and there's a lot of people apparently who fit this description. There's even a student at James Cook University writing a PhD on those who unfortunately are relationship saboteurs. That's Raquel Peel, and I'll speak to her in a moment. But our reporter Anna Hartley has found a Cairns local willing to put up her hand and say, yes, I've sabotaged relationships in the past. Carly Cummings is a beautician and found herself alone as a single mum at an early age. And she says that seems to be where it all started.
Honestly, I was about 19. So I had my daughter very young. I fell pregnant when I was 18 and had her at 19. And ever since she came along, I was telling myself that I wouldn't allow someone into her life that could be a bad influence, a bad role model, that sort of stuff. But then realised, yeah, that I was doing this more for self-preservation, definitely. I mean, I was, you know, looking out for my daughter. I didn't want, you know, men coming in and out of her lives and things like that. So I wasn't allowing myself to be open to just letting anyone in. But, yeah, I think I was disguising it behind protecting my daughter. That I realised I was really sort of trying to protect myself.
What kind of things would you do that kind of made you realise that you might be creating a bit of a pattern in relationships?
So it would just be, I guess, pushing issues in my relationships that in adult relationships you should be able to easily work through. You should be able to talk about those things. You should be able to compromise on those things. And I wasn't open to compromise. I was like, you know, this is a red flag and I'm stopping it here. Like, I wouldn't actually open up, tell them my, you know, concerns and let them voice, you know, their reasons or offer up a solution. Or, you know, they might not even have realized that they were doing those things or that those things were, you know, not okay in a relationship with someone who had a young child or, you know, whatever it may have been. There were lots of things that I would pick at. Like I would look for the negative instead of focusing on the positive. I was constantly looking for the way out or the reason why it shouldn't work.
Was there a certain time frame where you would tend to, you know, feel a bit pressured and want to pull out of a relationship? I guess, did you find yourself not really letting things go for very long times?
Yeah, absolutely. So usually at about between the 2 and 3 month mark. So I guess, you know, between meeting someone, very casually dating, and then when things would start to become that little bit more serious where, you know, they would want to meet my daughter or my family or even just, you know, stay at my house and things for the night. And I was like, okay, this is moving into a more serious tone. So yeah, it was usually about the 2 to 3 month mark, and you know, the honeymoon period is sort of weighing out by then, sort of fading. Instead of focusing on the positive, I was searching for a negative. I was searching for red flags so that I could end something. And it was through self-preservation. So I had been engaged very young before I fell pregnant with my daughter. And that ended very abruptly. Like, we had never fought. It was the perfect relationship, all of those things. So I had experienced that. And one day, yeah, he sort of came home and said, you know, like, I've quit my job, I've sold my house, and we're breaking up. And I was just like, you know, gobsmacked. And I guess, you know, the feeling of that and how long it took to sort of overcome that, I was never prepared to put myself in a position where I didn't see something coming. So I wanted to be the one to end things, to call it off before I could be blindsided and get hurt that way again. I had literally been what I would consider single for 10 years before being with my current partner. I would date and I would have fun and all of those things, but not once would I ever refer to someone as my boyfriend. And even, you know, when my girlfriends would sort of joke and do that whole, like, you have a boyfriend, because I was spending time with people, you know, in a relationship style, I was always like, please, no. I would just completely back away from anything that even, yeah, sort of implied that it was serious.
Do you think that, you know, a negative experience like the one you had is maybe a common factor which causes a lot of women to get into that pattern?
Definitely, yeah. I think so. You know, I have spoken to a lot of my girlfriends and stuff about this subject. Like you said, it is so common. And I think, you know, a lot of the conversations sort of when we begin with, you know, close friends of mine, we're prepared to open up to each other, they don't realize that they're doing it. I think a big thing is, even though so many of us do it, there are still such a large percentage that don't realize that's what they're doing. So, yeah, similar things, you know. And when you're young, when you're a teenager, the relationships that you have, they are fun and they are exciting, and you don't have the stresses of children and, you know, being really serious about work and paying off mortgages and all that sort of stuff. So the relationships are amazing. And, you know, your first serious relationship when you're sort of in your late teens and you first move in together and do all those exciting things that you make you feel like an adult, but you're not really adulting yet. Yeah. You know, it all feels so great that when that ends, and the way that it ends, whether it's, you know, cheating, or in my case, it was just completely like he had a breakdown and just ended things like completely out of the blue, because I had experienced that amazing relationship feeling, and I was certain that, you know, this was forever. And like, in hindsight, I know that as we had gotten older and, you know, life and stress and kids and all that became more of an issue, it wouldn't have been the relationship it was. But because that's all I remember having, that's all I want. But now at my age, it's just not possible. Like, you don't have the same relationships that you did as a teenager and stuff.
When did you recognize for yourself that was a pattern, and how did you kind of work through it?
So it was, I noticed it myself very early. I'm a very self-aware person. As far as overcoming it, even though I could recognize what I was doing and why I was doing it, I wouldn't say that I had overcome it. It's still not something that you can let go. In the back of my mind, I'm always still just waiting for whatever it might be, whatever reason, for them to sort of say, you know, I can't do this, or I'm done with this. And, you know, and that will leave me in a position where I'm like, I'm so stupid, once bitten, twice shy. Like, how could I let this happen again? I knew how much it hurt the first time. Yeah, so I don't think I have overcome it. Like I said, we are consciously working very hard, and I'm very lucky to have such a supportive partner now who I was able to explain what I do and why I do it. And he's prepared to, you know, kind of constantly convince me that he's not going anywhere, and, you know, that it's okay and all of those things. But as far as personally, I don't think that I have overcome those feelings.
Would you have any other advice for women who are in that same cycle and that same situation, who might be pushing potentially, you know, perfect partners away because of that feeling of fear?
Everyone is so different for their reasons for being the way that they are. I think my biggest thing is just that you need to be self-aware. You need to sit and honestly really, really think about if you are doing this. You know, so many women are like, oh, you know, I can't find a good man, right? And it's often not the case. Or, you know, there are no men out there, or, you know, there are men but they all have children, or they all have baggage, or everyone has baggage. Like, you need the main thing is you need to be self-aware. You need to be honest with yourself that this is something that you are doing.
That's Kaylee Cummings opening up there to Anna Hartley on ABC Far North. So on this Valentine's Day, how normal is it for a person to sabotage their own relationship? Well, Raquel Peel is trying to find out just that. She's writing a PhD on the matter. Good morning, Raquel. How did we get this way?
It forms naturally. It's not something that we think about. It's the way we learn how to love and how to trust. So it's formed as children. And it's not always the case, but usually if you don't have a secure attachment with your parents, you can carry that on to adulthood. So essentially you have learned that you can't trust relationships. So if you've learned that, you know, you can't trust the love of your parents, you know, you don't know if they love you, you don't know if they're going to come home and love you, that type of thing, you're essentially learning that relationships are hard and you don't know what to stand on them. So as an adult, you might find a partner, a romantic partner, and you don't know how to trust them. And that's not something that we think about. Again, it's something that just happens. Yeah, so you have that negative belief of relationships ingrained in you and you don't even realize that.
When it comes to sabotaging relationships, when you say it out loud, it sounds like, why on earth would anybody do that? But
exactly.
Is it fair to say that it's not uncommon?
I would say it's not uncommon at all. And I would say that we all do it without realizing. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling cycle. You know, you've got that negative belief of relationships. You're thinking that relationships are hard, they never work, all males are bad, all males will cheat, that kind of thing. So you have certain expectations of your relationship based on those beliefs. And without realizing, you might start enacting some behaviors towards matching that belief. And it becomes that cycle where, in the end of the day, as human beings, we love being right. Yeah, like who doesn't like being right? Yeah, we all love being right. So in the end of the day, if you get yourself onto that cycle of, you know, relationships are hard, and then you start believing that, you start enacting that, in the end, if it doesn't work, you're like, oh, I knew that. I knew it was too hard. I knew, you know, this guy wasn't right for me. Very rewarding.
How might you go about it then? I don't want you to be giving lessons on how to break up with people, but can you give me an example of perhaps a relationship that gets sabotaged? I mean, what gets said, or what sort of behaviour are you seeing there?
It can be anything, but it can be something as simple as critiquing your partner. Okay, so again, if you've got that belief that, you know, males are useless and they're all bad for you, you might just critique them. You know, you might start saying things like, oh, you're looking at that other girl and you're doing that. And in the end of the day, you get onto that cycle of, I believe that, I act like that, and it could start happening. And the sad thing is you could have a loving relationship right in front of you, but because you act that way, you could be destroying it.
I've heard people after they've broken up with someone saying, you know, I still love her. I don't know how we broke up. I mean, you hear that. It's sort of like you're subconsciously breaking up, even though you can hear the words coming out of your mouth and you don't agree with them. Is that how it happens?
Yeah. And again, it's not something that we are aware of. I would say, you know, the first step towards trying to fix that would be becoming aware of our beliefs. You know, what's actually happening and what is that something that we're just expecting? Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Some things might be happening. Maybe that person isn't right for you, but we need to know what's real and what's just our imagination or our expectations based on, say, past relationships.
How difficult would this be for the partner? I mean, I'm wondering if it's realistic to hear somebody say, you know, I want to leave you, and the other person could say, I know you think you do, but you don't, because you're actually sabotaging the relationship. I mean, that sounds like something that's not realistic, but, you know, what's going to happen?
It's very difficult. And again, it depends on the attachment styles of your partner. So if your partner is someone who is very secure, you know, they might be someone who is aware and they might be like, no, okay, look, I know you're saying this, but I think you're just exaggerating. You don't really want to leave me type thing. But if they are insecure themselves, you might be playing that game where you push and then they pull and you're never really matching or never really meeting in the middle.
Wow. What's the chances that both parties in a relationship could be of this sort of characteristic?
I would say very high.
Oh, wow. Then what? That's a whole different PhD, isn't it?
It just becomes that dance that, you know, you're dancing in different directions. You're never really meeting in the middle. And again, because we're not conscious of it, you're just doing it. Unless someone points it to you and say, all right, you are both doing it, you're both going in a different direction, even though your intentions are not that.
Raquel, it makes a lot of sense. To be fair to people listening in thinking, gee, I might not have had a great relationship with my parents, you might have described me here. What would be the first step to looking into this?
Well, the first thing is that it's not always the case. So it's not a death sentence. If you have had a bad relationship with your parents, it doesn't mean you're going to have bad relationships with your romantic partners.
Right.
I think the first step is to be aware. To be aware of the behaviors that you bring into the relationship. One big thing that I hear a lot is trust. And I think it's really important to give people an opportunity to be trusted. So if you go into a relationship and you're already not trusting them, it's going to be very difficult.
Well, Raquel, I feel like I've had a session at the counsellor. I feel great.
I'm glad.
I appreciate your time and I wish you all the best with this PhD. It sounds like an absolutely fascinating read, so good luck with it.
Thank you so much.